So our scripture reading for today, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. And together we say, thanks be to God. I knew that when we began this journey, months before we began it, that we needed to spend at least one Sunday. It's not nearly enough, but we needed to spend at least one exploring singleness and longing and desire and what we do with those things. I don't know if you know this, but almost 40% of our adult population here in our church family are singles, almost 40%. And that number is just increasing in Silicon Valley at large. And even if you are not single, or even if you just got engaged, right? The reality is we all have desires and longings. And what do we do with them? What does God want to do with them? So as I've been praying and thinking, a number of weeks ago, probably a couple months ago, randomly, I was on my podcast feed and I had struck up this friendship with Nassim, and I heard her give a teaching on singleness and longing and desire as I was thinking about how to do this, because I'm not single. I was like, I don't know. What am I supposed to say? And I heard this teaching and I was so moved by it. So on a whim, I reached out and I was like, I know you don't even live here anymore and you're gonna have to fly on a plane to get here, but would you be willing to teach our community? And graciously, she said yes. So Nassim is a pastor in Portland, Oregon. She'll tell you more about that. Before that, she was a pastor at Awakening Church, which is a sister church of ours near and dear to our heart. She's a writer and teacher and preacher and podcaster and many things, but beyond all of that, Nassim is a lovely human being trying to faithfully follow Jesus in a complex world. So would you please give a warm Westgate welcome to Nassim Khalid.
Thank you. Thanks, Jay. See you. Thank you. Good morning. Hi. Hi, everyone. Good morning. Good to meet you. My name is Nassim. Thank you, Jay. That was beautiful. It is so good to be with you. As he said, I'm Bay Area born and raised, but on Monday I moved to Portland, and on Friday I flew back home. So we're here. My apartment is half-baked, but I could not miss the opportunity to be here. I'm so grateful. Before I dive in, I thought it would be kind of cool, just for those of you who don't know me, to kind of just paint a picture of the different layers of connection I have to Westgate. I was thinking about that on the plane. I was like, there are so many layers. So really, on the most basic of layers, this is my hood. My childhood home is walking distance from here, the house I just moved out of. So this has always felt just proximately like, you know, my hood, my neighborhood. So I love it here. And on a deeper level, as Jay mentioned, the church I was a part of for 8 years, Awakening Church. Are any awakening people in the house today? I think they're coming to 4 p.m., maybe. but we were planted out of Westgate, which is awesome. And then most importantly, that I thought that this crew would really get a kick out of, my youth pastor is Pastor Kayvon. Your youth pastor, your Kayvon, yes. And I see in the back, there's so many of us here from our youth group. I've heard many people say how they hate middle school and junior high. I forgot to mention this in the 9 a.m. I'm one of those rare breeds, the hot take, I loved junior high. I loved middle school. Yes, anyone else? And so much of that was due to Pastor Kayvon. And a lot of our people from our youth group, Iranian Christian Church, are here in the room right now, which is so cool. Yes, here's some photos of us back in our prime. Pastor Kayvon at what, age 20, 25? How old were you? If you've seen my big fat Greek wedding, we were like my big fat Persian youth group. This is who we were. We had the funnest memories, Mexico mission trips, ski trips. And the CDs there are there for a reason. I want you to know that I had the best youth pastor of all time. He would burn us mix CDs for Christmas. Amazing. And label them and everything. Tell me you're in the late 90s without telling me you're in the late 90s. Yes. So we had the best memories, and was just thinking how full circle it is, because in all seriousness, I met Jesus in that youth group, right? That was the church where I found Jesus at age 10. And so much of that feels full circle to be here now preaching at Westgate with you all today. So will you pray with me as we dive in? Lord, God, I thank you so much, Jesus, for just reminded of the people in our lives who played roles in leading us to you. We just say thank you for them. God, I thank you for your church and the beautiful bride that she is. And Lord, I just pray right now, God, that you, Holy Spirit, would move. Would you speak? Would you open up eyes and ears? And would you bring great encouragement for those who might have walked in here heavy? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do what you're going to do through me as your vessel. We trust you, and we're eager and anticipating to hear from you today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so you guys have been in such a rich, deep series, right? Wonderfully made. How awesome was Josh Butler last week? Wasn't that great? Wow, yeah. It was so good. He has become a dear friend. He is so kind. It's an honor to follow him up. And this morning, in case you're new, in case you're joining us for the first time, if you haven't been a part of this series, one, I want to encourage you, go catch up on the series. It's been great, all about gender and sexuality. But I want to reiterate the goals for this series that Jay outlined in week one, in case you want a little refresher. Here are some of the goals. The goals of this series, Wonderfully Made, are to provide clarity to the confused surrounding sexuality and gender, compassion for the hurting, and ultimately, to form us more into the image of Christ. Amen? That's why we're here. Right? And this morning, Jay has asked me to preach on the unique facet under that umbrella of singleness. Yes. Okay. And so one clarification I want to make right off the bat is this is a sermon that is about singleness. This is not a sermon just for single people. Okay? If you're married, if you're in a different stage of life, may I encourage you to please tune in because I believe there's so much here for us to glean. Because at the end of the day, singleness is a longing. Right? There's a deep longing at the core for the single, for companionship, for union. And yet we all walk into this space with other types of longing as well. So I was thinking about the different types of longing that you might have walked in here with, or those of you watching online. So for you who are 20, 30, 40, and you're single, and you're desiring marriage, this message is for you. For you who are single, and maybe not desiring marriage, but maybe just longing for a change, I kept thinking in prayer, the word meh came to mind. And I was just like, people who might have just walked in here feeling meh. You know that feeling? Like just like, God, I need change. I'm longing for the next season of my life. For those of you who are married, and maybe you're longing for deeper intimacy in your marriage, this sermon is for you. For those of you who are married and struggling with infertility, with a deep desire for children, and God hasn't met that desire, this message is for you. I think about those who might be older. Jay mentioned the 40%. Maybe you're in your 50s, 60s, older. Maybe you're widowed. Maybe you're a single parent and you've been through hardship. This message is for you. Now, I can go on and on, but I hope in setting that groundwork, my aim is to really know, make you know that you are seen in this space. You belong in this space. I see you, and more importantly, God sees you. Amen? Your Heavenly Father sees you, right? So that's the groundwork that I want to start with. And with that, I want to just kind of go into singleness, if I may. The kind of preacher that I am, as you get to know me, I just like to go there. So can we just go there? Are we ready? Okay. Can I just say, it can be hard to be single in the church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Yes. Okay. First service, no one. I was like, oh, no one wants to expose. But yes, love it. Okay. By the way, I love an audible crowd. So if you want to talk back at me, I love that. Okay. I love that. So it can be hard to be single in the church. I say that as a single in the church. I say that as a single in ministry, as a pastor, it's awkward and hard. I thought Bree beautifully, beautifully said that in such an eloquent way. I want to build off of that, the roller coaster that it can be. And I think that for anyone here in longing, whether you're single or not, the reality is the longer you're in longing, the harder it gets, right? The longer we're in longing, the harder it gets. This sermon would have looked a lot different for me 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm 34 and single, and ladies, we never have to share our age voluntarily. However, I wanted to voluntarily share that with you because I get a lot, like people think I'm like 23 or 24. I think I'll take it as a compliment maybe in a few years, but I share that to say I know I look young, but I'm 34 and I'm single. And in all transparency, I never thought I would be still single at 34. And many of my friends all got married a long time ago before me, now have kids that I've grown up with. And my circle of single friends has dwindled and dwindled over the years. So if I'm being honest, I didn't think this would be my reality right now, but it is. And in my time with God, as I've processed my singleness, my journey, my longing, I've prayed a lot of different prayers to the Lord. And I wanted to just kind of put on the screen a few of my prayers to the Lord, a few of the things I've spoken to God. And maybe you've been there, if you're single or any other kind of longing. God, why are you silent about this? Or why do you feel silent? God, I want to keep asking for this desire because it's good, but how can I be content if you don't answer it? How can I be content if you don't answer it in my timing? And God, I want to trust you with what you're doing, but man, I'm just disappointed. We've been there, just disappointed. Pastor Cheryl Denise Baker says, don't let disappointment dictate your belief in the Lord. Let your belief in the Lord determine how you process disappointment. That's so good. Let me read that again. Don't let disappointment dictate your belief in the Lord. Let your belief in the Lord determine how you process your disappointment. Belief in the Lord. I think that's a good starting point for us today, Westgate Church. And I wonder for you, what are your beliefs in the Lord? Those of you who come in here with longing, with maybe disappointments in God, those unspoken prayers, the things you're processing, what are your beliefs in the Lord? This became a really unique piece of the puzzle for me in my own singleness journey, where in the last few years, I had to come to the reality check that God is so much more than like a cosmic vending machine, right? Josh Butler alluded to this same illustration last week, and I want to double click on that again this morning. God is so much more than just this being where we pray the right prayer, put in the coin, act the right way, and we get the perfect life, right? And maybe some of you listening to this right now, you're like, yeah, duh, Nassim, that's, of course, that's not who God is. However, I want to make space for the people, and in pastoral ministry, I've had countless conversations like this, where that was the church context you might have grown up with, or maybe the theology that you began to believe. If I do the right things, if I behave the right way, I get the perfect life, right? God will answer every prayer. That became foundational for me to realize. And yet, the good news, the hope is that while God is not that being, God is not just like a vending machine, right? He is a good father. He is kind. He tells us to keep asking, to keep seeking and knocking, right? And if there's anything that you take away from this message, my prayer for you is that you would hold on tight to the truth of who God is over and above what you hope he will do for you. Amen? Would you hold on to the truth of who God is over and above what you want him to do for you? What prayer you want him to answer? So that takes me back to belief in the Lord. Who is God? Who is God to you? As a pastor, as a friend, as a whoever I am to you, as a stranger, but someone giving you a message right now, I cannot guarantee the if or when God will answer your prayers. Many of you have no idea what your deep longings are, but God does. I can't guarantee that, but here's what I can guarantee you, because the Lord guarantees this. Church, God can use your deepest longings to not only draw you closer to his presence, but to display the power of Christ at work in you. God can use and will use your deepest longings, your deepest desires that you walked in here with, to not only draw you closer to his presence, but to display the power of Christ at work in you. That is what I want to encourage you with, is the power of Christ at work in you, especially in longing. I don't think we talk about this enough in the church. There is a power at work in you. Now, for some of you might be thinking, power of Christ, that sounds very like Star Wars-y, like force within me kind of thing maybe, right? That's not what I mean. What do I mean? What do I mean by that, by the power of Christ? Can I take us on a mini theology deep dive? Yeah? Or a splash, a theology splash, if I may. Now, for those of us who know and follow Jesus, I'm sure many of us in this room, and if you don't, there's an invitation for you today. The gospel is so much more than a ticket to heaven when you die, right? I think I kind of grew up in my faith. I would label it maybe like a two-dimensional view of my relationship with God. It was more like he's there and I'm saved and I'm going to church. And it was kind of flat. And over the last decade or so, I've really just felt the word 3D always comes to my mind when I think of the good news. It's become 3D. My relationship with God has gone to a place of color and dimension and texture and depth. And part of that 3D-ness of the gospel is this, friends. The good news is that in following Jesus and knowing God, you and I are united to Jesus Christ. Amen? We are united to Jesus Christ. What does that union mean? What does that union mean? The same power of Jesus that dwelled within him is now dwelling within you and I. So for those of you who are in longing, for those of you who are the good days, the hard days, the mystery, the power of Jesus Christ is dwelling within you right now. Amen. That deserves an amen. Yes. We just celebrated Easter, right, a month ago. And when Jesus ascended after his resurrection, he leaves a gift to everyone, to us, to his disciples. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, Holy Spirit will be your advocate. He will be your comforter. He's going to be your counselor. He leaves that to you and I today. That Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. Let's look to 2 Corinthians. Paul says this in such a beautiful way. He says, yes, Jesus was nailed to the cross and died a weak human being, but he now lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, we, like him, are also weak human beings, but you will see that like him, we also live by the power of the Holy Spirit as we walk together with you. It's beautiful. Now, if you're wondering, where is this going with singleness or other types of longings? Here is this guarantee, this promise that I want to give you. Church, Christ's power produces perseverance in you to keep flourishing and to keep going in your longing. Christ's power produces perseverance in you. Okay? Now, why perseverance? Please don't hear what I'm not saying. This is not a sermon that's about just grin it and bear it. This is not a sermon that just says, like, keep going and be resilient and, you know, just keep going. Why perseverance? I have heard too many sermons, especially now at 34, and maybe if you're single, you relate. As singles, especially those who follow Jesus, we're always looking for, like, a resource or a pastor to tell us, like, what to do. Like, what do I do with my singleness, right? How do I do that well? I've heard too many sermons of just wait and trust God, right? Like, okay, yes, and then what else? So as I've grown older, and I hope this is helpful to you, as I've been studying the Bible, just being deep, deep into the Bible, the Word, and being in seminary right now, one theme that I see, this thread woven across, especially the New Testament, is the theme of perseverance. It's really interesting. All through Scripture, we see examples of mystery, suffering, hardship. That sounds very similar to probably the worlds that you and I live in right now, right, in 2024. And all throughout, there's this common thread woven of perseverance. It's really interesting. And usually when there's repetition in Scripture, we pay attention to it, right? So I wish I had time to kind of go through all these verses in depth, but I want to just give you a few examples. Maybe these are verses that you've read in your quiet time. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus reminds us that we bear fruit by our perseverance. It's interesting. We bear fruit from our perseverance. Peter, in one of his famous scriptures in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says that one of the building blocks of our faith, he says, keep adding to your faith with perseverance. If you remember that verse, it says, add to it godliness, add to it love, and perseverance is part of that building block of our faith. It's interesting. James, the apostle, famously says in James 1, let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete. We all want that, right? I hope that we want to become mature disciples. So there's this common thread of perseverance. What does perseverance mean? Maybe you're listening to me and you're picturing, you know, like a race or like, again, that resilience, grin it and bear it. I want to take us on a word study. The Greek word for perseverance in your Bible is the word hupomone. Can you say that with me? Hupomone. Yeah, it's pretty. Some of the meanings of hupomone, steadfastness, constancy, endurance. I love the word constancy so much. We don't use that enough today. One commentary I read, the scholar writes this, in the New Testament, hupomone is the characteristic of one who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose or his loyalty to faith by even the greatest of trials. Such a mic drop line, right? I'm like, I want to be like that. I want to be not swerved from my purpose. That is hupomone. So with that groundwork, church, with that foundation, where do I want to take us today, Westgate? I think that for those of you maybe in the room who are maybe more practical, like, okay, so what do I do? I'm the same way. Here's where I want to lead us. With that belief, that theology, that the power of Jesus Christ is in you and I, and it is developing perseverance, what does perseverance look like in your longing, right? What does true, fruitful hupomone look like for the person in the room who is in deep longing, which I know all of us are? And I've always believed that our walk with Jesus is just that. It's a walk with Jesus, right? So while that power is dwelling within us, that's there, it's a partnership to yield to that power. Amen? There's work on our parts that it takes in our faith to keep walking in that power, to yield to that. So where I want to take us on our time is I want to offer us three postures, three encouragements that I believe that as singles, as anyone who is longing, we can take to persevere in our longing. That is a posture of active trust, confident hope, and a commitment to community. Okay, are we ready? How are we doing? We good? Okay, let's do this. Active trust. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in the last like decade of my life about how awkward dating is and confusing it can be, right? Anyone else? Yeah, dating app culture, especially as Christians, ghosting culture, Don't ghost people. It is so rude. Don't ghost. Someone in the first service was like, amen. Yeah, don't ghost. It's rude. And to add to that, the mixed messages that singles get. And again, I thought Bree's spoken word exactly touched on that. I want to highlight two of those mixed messages for singles. If you're single, I hope you feel seen. And if you're not single, welcome to the confusion that is dating. Okay, so some examples. Let me give you two. The first is, on one hand, singles receive a message. It'll happen when you stop thinking about it. Just stop thinking about it. Trust God and let it go, right? I've gotten that my whole life. And then on the other hand, though, a message that I started receiving later in my 20s was, it'll happen when you put in more effort, right? Your wife, your husband is not going to drop on your doorstep like a job opportunity. It's not going to happen. You have to try harder. So put in more effort. And I know that's funny. And in addition to it being funny, also, like, it can be painful and add a complex for singles, where even for me, if I'm being very honest, I've thought, so how much do I do, right? Like, how little do I do and how much do I do? What means I'm doing too much and I don't trust you, and vice versa? Yeah. The second mixed message, you do not need a mate to complete you, which is 1,000% true. But we get the mixed message, and unfortunately, more often in the church, you're not complete till you get married. And Jay said this in week one. I love what he said. He said, we elevate the marital status of being married in the church, especially. It's just a holding pattern till you find the one. And so I share all this to say that it can feel like a roller coaster, right? The ups, the downs. There can be days where as a single, and again, I mentioned this for the singles who are desiring marriage. I'm well aware there's many singles who aren't desiring marriage. But especially for singles who are, there can be the ebbs and the flows. The moments where you're like, I'm living my best life. I'm content. I'm happy, right? And then the ebbs and flows of like, oh, shoot, God, I really want this. Like, are you going to do it, right? I made a covenant with the Lord when I went into pastoral ministry, and I just felt really called to preach and teach, that I was like, God, I'm going to use my voice to be vulnerable and raw when I preach, if you give me those opportunities, because I want people to know that they're not alone, and I want to encourage that. So I share that with you to say, this is a very vulnerable message for me. I would not have been in a place to give this message about a year ago, and I'll share more about that later, but all of this is raw, but I want to be raw with you. For me being in ministry, this confusion has only been added to in recent years. About 2.5 years ago, I was officially commissioned as a pastor at my church at Awakening. And it was, thank you. And it was one of the best days of my life. And many of my family who was there is here today, which is awesome for the support. And in the midst of the magic of that day and just the celebration, I overheard someone make a comment. And my generous explanation is that they probably meant well, but you know when comments just stick. And I overheard her say, dating is going to be so much harder for her now because she has the word pastor in her job title. Yeah, it really, my heart dropped. Yeah, it really, really stung. And if I'm being very honest with you, that roller coaster for me continued even in a more confusing way after that. There were moments where I was just like, and I still, on my good days, I'm like, God, I feel so called to this. Like, I love your church. I know you've given me a gift to shepherd and to teach. Like, I'm made for this. But then on the low days, I'm like, God, did I just like shoot myself in the foot? Like, is no guy gonna wanna date me because I'm a pastor, because I'm on stage? Like, is no one gonna wanna pursue me? And it goes up and down and up and down. And I share that example of my own life. Maybe you've been there, maybe with whatever longing you're in there today. I share that to say, church, our faith can be so fickle and wavering based on circumstance, right? Based on people's commentary, amen? Our faith can be so fickle. May we be so cautious not to base our faith on circumstance. That's where I want to take us today. That's where I want to start us, this posture of active trust. Our trust, our belief in the Lord should come first out of the overflow of God's character, your Father, amen? Right? That's where I want us to start with. And I was thinking about as I was praying for all of you, I wonder, for those of you in the room who've been a believer maybe for 5, 10, 15 years, maybe your whole life, could today be an invitation to you to go even just one layer deeper in your trust with God for the longing that you're walking here with? For those of you who are brand new to faith, maybe you're a few months in, a few years in, it feels fresh. Wherever we land on that spectrum of knowing God, we can always know him a layer deeper, amen? That's where we need to start, because we cannot trust someone we don't know. My encouragement to you is to get to know your Father. This is not a blind trust. I'm not just saying just trust him to believe, like, yes, I'm gonna get every prayer answered. It's to trust and know the character of your Father. As I've been studying the Lord and the word more and thinking about faith, I wanted to read this definition of faith to you by Christian Wiman at Yale Divinity School. He says, I think that faith means living towards God in some way. That really stuck with me as I was thinking about it. I think faith means living towards God in some way. The word active came to my mind. I was like, man, living towards him. That means I'm actively, daily, orienting my eyes, my mind, my heart, my ears towards him. I'm living towards him, right? And the more and more that we live towards him, the more and more that we get to know him, the more we can persevere with active trust, right? Even in longing. There's an invitation here today to actively trust him more. One of my favorite scriptures was the scripture Jay read as the anchor for this message, which is out of Romans 15. I want to read that again over you. Paul writes this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, the Apostle Paul is known for doing like one sentence with like 20 prepositional phrases in it, right? It takes a while to go through it. So may I encourage you, I literally sat with this verse for about a month. Every morning, this was the one verse I was reading in my quiet time. I was reading it over and over and just soaking in it. And I realized something, the partnership here. One, as we trust him, look at what he promises. "I promise to fill you with all joy and peace." For those of you who are in longing, I wonder if you've experienced that. And right after it says, as you trust in him, it's a partnership. The filling happens as I'm actively trusting you. In my own life, this has been a lifeline for me. There's moments where in my longing, I just have felt this, you know, that feeling of just like undescribable joy and peace through different avenues that keeps you going. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the best part is God's like, that's not all, right? God is always above and beyond what we need. He says, I'm also gonna cause you to overflow with hope. Right? That's who our God is. And that segues perfectly, dovetails into this next point. It's active trust that is paired with confident hope together. The late, great Tim Keller in his book Prayer, which I highly recommend, writes this. It's kind of long. Read along with me. "The final thought of every prayer must be for the help that we need to accept thankfully from God's hand whatever he sends in his wisdom. And on the other hand, we are invited to intensely, specifically, and repeatedly make our needs known in prayer with the confidence that they will be heard." It's beautiful. Notice that he writes heard, not answered in the way that we want or when we want, heard. I just feel like for someone in the room or arguably all of us, you need to hear that God hears every prayer that you've ever prayed. He hears you. You're not forgotten. He's not withholding. He loves you. And your prayers are heard. I think we have to constantly remind ourselves of that. And as I was reading this this passage in his book, I just thought of like, wow, it's a tension that we live in. There's a tension that God is inviting us into, a both and. Here's the both and. We are invited to live in a tension of actively trusting who God is, actively trusting the character of God as our Father, and simultaneously continue to hope. Continue to ask for our good desires. Continue to intensely, specifically, make them known to God, right? God says in his word, keep asking. Jesus says that. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. And I say that to say, I know it sounds easier said than done. It's a dance to dance in. It's a tension to dance in. And I want to invite you, Westgate Church, dance in that tension. Active trust and confident hope. Again, it's easier said than done. And I'll be honest with you, in my own life, I mentioned a little bit earlier, about a year ago, I would not be in a space to give this message. I didn't have this sermon. This is a sermon that God breathed in me in the last year, which is just so providential that I'm here in front of you today. And in the last year, I think the best way I would describe it is I felt like in regards to my singleness and believing that God would bring my husband, or for the men in the room, God bringing your wife or whatnot, I felt like my hope felt like a deflated balloon. I just was like, okay, God, I've been praying about it for like X amount of years. Like, it's not happening. It feels like crickets. I'm gonna stop praying about it. And honestly, I had good intentions, if you will. I think really what it came down to, I didn't want a reason to be mad at God if he didn't answer. Have you been there? Yeah. So I just thought, I'll just shelf it, metaphorically. This desire will go on the shelf, gather dust, if you will. But those of you in the room or listening, you know this. If you have a deep desire, especially for something like marriage or children, something that's so near to God's heart and like a good desire, you can't shelf it, right? It's still there. It's lingering. It's a deep desire of your heart. And so what I realized started happening over the year was that what I didn't want to happen happened. And I started growing very bitter at God. And I felt really forgotten by God. And like he was withholding. And like I didn't know what else to do, right? And By the grace of God, in August, I interestingly had decided to leave my job at Awakening and was praying about the next chapter for me. And I embarked on a sabbatical that Awakening graciously gifted to me. And I went to Europe and I delighted and I rested and I came here and I was just home and I was just being with the Lord. I remember my pastor's wife at the time when I left, she prayed over me and she had a prophetic word. She said, I'm seeing the words deep waters. You are gonna be swimming in deep waters with God. Lean in. That stuck with me. And church, what I want to impart to you today is on that journey, I felt like God literally resurrected my hope again. Now, what I mean by that is not only the hope of like, God, you're able to do this, like you're able to answer my deep prayer, but even more than that, I felt like God whispering to me, Nassim, this time is not wasted. This time is not wasted. I am transforming you in your longing. I am transforming your longing. Friends, that is the hope I want to impart to you today. This time is not wasted. Those of you in this space who've been praying for something for 1, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, this is not wasted. He hears. There is active transformation that he's doing in the longing, in your waiting. May I encourage you to swim in deep waters with the Lord. I think of my friends in my life who've been through very hard times. I don't want to equate singleness with suffering by any means, but something hard or longing. You know when God's all you have? That intimacy is like next level with him, right? I've talked about that with a few of my friends. There's nothing like it. That's what I felt in this fall season, that intimacy. My encouragement to you is to lean in, swim into the deep waters with him. This is not like a TED Talk project, like let me work on the best version of myself and then I get the prize. No, this is just for our edification. This is just God's goodness that he's like, let me take you on a transformation journey. Let me refine you. Amen? Lean into that. It reminds me of this verse in Isaiah where God says, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places so that you may know I'm God. I felt like that's what God gave me in this season. He didn't give me like a thing. He gave me him. That's what I want to impart to you. He can give you more of him, those secret treasures and the longing, the riches in secret places. It's all so we know who he is so that we can trust him. So how do we persevere in longing? We actively trust. We confidently hope. We keep asking for what we want, but we hope in him. And finally, we commit to community. Now, you'll notice that those first two invitations I gave you, those first two postures are very personal, right? That's between you and God. My prayer is this week that you take that with you and God and you talk to him about it. This last one involves all of you in the lives of one another. Commitment to community. Why am I ending here? I did this on purpose. Our faith is not a solo project, right? I feel so passionate about this. If you believe and follow Jesus, I encourage you, be involved in your church. Be involved and committed to a local church community. We cannot do our faith on our own. We cannot do our faith in a vacuum. We gather, we persevere in community. We cannot do it alone. We bring each other to the feet of Jesus in community. We have faith for each other in community, amen? That's who we are. That's where the body of Christ. That's why we're gathered here today. I hope that's why you come here today, right? To carry one another's burdens, not just to come and go and glean for yourselves, to see one another. We are his body. Pastor A.J. Sobota writes this, singleness is actually an invitation to the church to open its doors, to be hospitable, gracious, loving, and to create space, not to create second-class citizenship for the unmarried. Can I get an amen? That's good. That's good, right? So in closing, friends, this last point, I want to make it really practical, and I'm going to make it very practical for the singles. Because again, as Jay had said too, I don't think singles get enough airtime in the church. And I think about how much we talk about caring for the kids and the youth and marriage ministry and so on. And singles need a moment too. Now, in sharing this, this is actually to those of you in the room who are not single. This is encouragement to you who know single people in your life. The parents, those who are 50, 60, that think, you know, we need each other. May we never fall into the trap that we can only be friends with people who are just in our stage of life, right? We need each other. I wanna give you three ways that I believe that the Big C Church can better model hospitality and care for singles, how we can help each other persevere, because we need you to help us in our perseverance. The three things I wanna share with you are very practical and quick, and I share them with you with joy because I have been the recipient of all three of these in spades. And I feel so blessed that my community has carried me through my longing, through my very long longing that I didn't think would last this long, right? here's what I've experienced, and here's my prayer for you in community, because I know this is possible. The first, be intentional and prayerful for the single people in your life. Let's start here again. If you're sitting here like, I don't know anyone single, would you get to know someone? In the next meet and greet, when you come to church next week, get to know somebody who's single. It is hard for us to come to church alone. Befriend us. Be intentional and prayerful. I can't tell you how much it's meant to me to have people text me that they're praying for me. Especially at my old church, being on staff at Awakening for 8 years, I had countless people text me out of the blue or like a cold email, I'm praying for you. Praying for your future husband. Praying for your ministry, whatever that looks like. Maybe those of you who are single, if you have single friends or married friends who are praying for you, it's kind of like when we lose faith for ourselves, you are carrying us by having faith for us, amen? Your intercession for us is what carries us. Many of my Persian aunties are here in the front row. They've been carrying me in my singleness and praying for me and interceding for me. I don't want to cry. But it means so much to me. Be intentional for them. Intentionality can go so many ways. Here's one example I recently heard on a podcast that I love. The lady was sharing, hey, for those of you who are married, especially you guys in the Bay, you all work at like Google, Facebook, Apple, doctor, whatever you are in your job. If you know someone that you might think would be a good fit for someone, matchmake us, do a little connection. And I know that's funny, but man, we love it, right, singles? We love it. If you can vouch for them, be on the lookout. If you're working at Apple, you're like, hey, that guy would be great for you. That girl would be great for you. I'm gonna have eyes to look out for you. Can't tell you how much it means to singles to know that our married friends are looking out for us, that you're praying for us and you're being intentional. Go the extra mile. Celebrate their milestones. This one is so important. Celebrate their unique milestones. In America, here in the West, we have very distinct, clear markers for success. Or you have arrived, right? Getting married, buying a home, having the first kid, then the second kid, the list goes on. We really symbolize these, we christen these milestones with baby showers, bridal showers, the kid's birthday, the wedding registry, the bachelorette party, the list goes on. And I think that something that also doesn't get talked about enough in the church is for single people, in addition to the longing that we have for our person, for companionship, I would say, especially if you're post-30, there is a sense of feeling left behind, if you will, if you're still single. There's a feeling of, I haven't arrived yet. There's a feeling of, oh, all my friends got married and I didn't. My friends are all having kids or bought a home. I'm still here. What are they thinking of me? Is it awkward, right? The list goes on. And I want to encourage you, would you celebrate the unique milestones of single people? That's going to take creativity because our milestones look different than yours, right? That's going to take a lot of creativity. And maybe this week, that's a prayer point that you take to the Lord. How could you celebrate a milestone of a single person in your life? This feels very fresh to me, so I'll share this poignant example in my life. I just told you on Monday I moved to Portland, and it's been such a whirlwind in the best way. I literally felt carried off to Portland by my community here, carried. The amount of friends who texted me praying for me this week. My girlfriends from my childhood that said, hey, make an anthropology registry. We want to get you cocktail glasses and plates and cups, and we want to celebrate this with you. My guy friend that knew I was buying a car and I was so just confused about car stuff called me right away, talked to me for an hour about car information. Things that singles do alone that you who are married might not realize, oh yeah, they're doing it alone. Come alongside and support and celebrate and show up, right? So many other examples. And finally, invite singles into your life in a deeper way. Invite singles into your life in a deeper way. I think about this for people who are married, people who are much older. I think about like my parents' age. Inviting singles into your life in a deeper way. I wonder if you're sitting here in your 50s and 60s, I know it might seem like, oh, I'm old, who would want to hang out with me? I just talked to someone in the last service. We would love to glean wisdom from you. We want to know you. You have so much to pour in. One of my favorite relationships is with one of my mentors, who's one of my pastors, who is a mom, an older mom who's my mom's age. My coffees with her are the best part of my month, literally. There's so much for us to glean from you. And finally, for married people in the room, here's an idea, too, that has come to my mind is, you know, is there a single friend in your life that you could bring into your family life? Right? I was just talking to Dave Tisch, the pastor at South Hills last week. He was telling me he's married. He has a family. One of his closest friends is a single guy that he goes to the movies with. They both love movies and they go to the movies together. I thought that was so beautiful that him as a married man with a single guy, they just go to the movies together. Invite them into your life in a deeper way. We need one another. Finally, to the parents, is there a single in your life who has played a unique role in your kid's life? Is there someone in your life that you've grown up with and they're still single? Maybe you're pregnant and having kids. Is there a way that you can invite them into your life in a deeper way? For me, playing the role of an honorary aunt, or in Farsi we say a khale, to these three beautiful gems, to Jude, to Kia, and to Shaya, this has been transformative. Just, I can't tell you the amount of pure love. I'm not a mom yet, but the pure love that I have felt from these three boys towards me as their auntie Nassim has been such a gift to me in my singleness. It has kept me going. It's been such a gem to have two of my closest friends, these two couples, be like, we're gonna involve you in our family's life and you're gonna be an auntie to them, right? What does that look like for you? Again, these are just all ideas to kind of spur you on. And I invite you to pray about this in the coming week. Be intentional to cover singles and help us in our perseverance, okay? These are all ways that we partner and persevere, hupomone, and community. And if you're sitting here and you're like, that sounds great, Nassim, where do I start? Like, I want this. You're in an amazing church. You are at a wonderful church with so many resources. There's a slide that I want to show you. You have a singles ministry here. You have a community here that wants to come alongside you. So I encourage you to opt in. Take out your phone right now if you want. I'll allow it. You can scan the QR code. Get involved. It'll be on the screen afterward as well. Get plugged in. And let me just say, like, it might be awkward at first. Like, it will be awkward. It will be awkward at first to go, right? But we go in faith and we go trusting that God is going to provide. Right? It takes investment. I encourage you to do this. And as we come to a close here, church, and I'll invite the band to slowly make their way back up, as we've been talking about perseverance and longing for singles, for those in the room who have different kinds of longings, I want to close us where I started, and I want to take you back to my youth group days. As I was packing up all my belongings in this last week, getting ready to move, cleaning out my closet, being really nostalgic, I found my first teen study Bible. The spine is falling off. My mom got this for me, and I looked inside the cover, April 29th, 2004. Tomorrow will be 20 years to the day. Just as someone who's very nostalgic about dates, I just thought it was beautiful. And as you'll notice, it does not look like your typical Bible. And in true early 2000s youth group culture, we would collage our Bibles. Anyone else? We would hodgepodge. It was like a youth group activity. Thank you, Pastor Kayvon. And as I was looking at this, you know, I was reminded of making it. And it brought me back. The first Bible verse I ever memorized at age 14 was Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I loved this verse so much so that I had printed it out and I made it the spine of this covered Bible. I want to read it over you as we close. The writer of Hebrews writes this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." I remember at age 14 reading that verse. You know, sometimes a picture comes to your mind. Maybe for you, when you think of perseverance, you think of a racer or like a, you know, like a marathon runner. For me, for some reason, the picture that came to my mind was a girl in a red dress running through a field, like a meadow of flowers, freely. That image was so vivid to me that I ended up finding an image like it, and I put it on my Bible right here next to the verse. I share that with you to say I look at this 20 years later, and I'm reminded of that 14-year-old girl. And I'm reminded of, wow, what in me made the correlation with perseverance and running free? Because we often don't think that, right? And friends, I want to share with you what I knew then but kind of lost along the way but know again now, and I want to impart to you. You and I can run that race with perseverance and freedom. Why? Because of Jesus' perseverance for you, amen? Because of Christ's perseverance for you. It's what the verse says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. That is the good news today, church. That is the good news. You know, we persevere now, and it takes a lot of work, and it takes hardship, but Christ's power in us enables us to keep going. And let me give you even better news. This is not the end. When Christ comes back, all longing will be fulfilled. It's kind of like this beautiful picture of longing and perseverance eclipsing when he comes back. So we persevere in part now, but this is not the end. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that you are the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. God, I want to pray for the person in the room who walked in here with such a deep longing. Maybe it's for marriage, maybe it's for a child, maybe it's for salvation of someone close to them or for a new job. Whatever those deep longings are that are unmet, my prayer this morning is that you would enable us with hupomone, that you would enable us to not be swerved from our deliberate purpose or our loyalty to faith. That is you. I pray that you would enable us with hupomone to actively trust who you are as our Father, to confidently hope in the transformation you're doing. And Lord, I pray that this community would carry each other. I pray that through this sermon series, new community and friendships will be forged. I pray that whoever feels alone in this space would feel less alone. And ultimately, I pray for that same image for every man and woman in this space. No matter what longing we have, God, ultimately, our union is with you. That's our identity in Christ. Our union is with you, Jesus. What else can we do but worship you? So God, now we look to you and we just say thank you. We thank you for the grace that you've given us. Let's worship. Amen.